today is about Jesus. Last week, we studied a little bit about sin. Let me fix this real quick. Can y'all hear me okay now? Okay, I'm going to stop something real quick. Let's just focus on him today. Last week we studied a little bit about sin, actually a lot about sin. We focused on how powerful sin is. Remember, we talked about how Adam's sin entered into the world, and then death through sin caused all to be sinners, and we're all under that judgment of God. So we looked at Romans 5:12 last week, really focused on Romans 5:12, and we were looking at how the impact of sin impacted even the stars and the galaxies. Everywhere you look, you'll see star death. Everywhere you look, no matter what scientists say, it's against physical laws for stars to just ignite on their own. There's just no way it can happen. I've taken physics all through with calculus. There's no way, shape, or form a star can form on its own. God has to create stars. There's no way. Gases like to go out. If you ever get a balloon and heat it up, it'll go up a little bit more. You try to push it down, it tries to leak out the other way. You have to have complete, perfect pressure all the way through until the point where gravity takes over. One of the weakest forces in the universe will take over so that it doesn't go out. And then if it ignites, that is fusion, nuclear fusion occurs in the middle of a star, that power will want to make it go out and then no longer be a star. There has to be a point where the pressure equalizes, where the gravity takes over and its own mass will take over. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is nothing in the universe, no laws in nature, not even a tidal wave, could cause a star to ignite and form, let alone galaxies and systems of galaxies. And these scientists know it. They are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. So everywhere you look, everywhere you look in the stars, in the universe, you will see star death. And that star death, based upon Romans 8, says that the whole universe groans in corruption, death, and decay because of Adam and Eve's sin. So we saw how powerful sin is, and we see that sin is more powerful than gravity, magnetism, any force in the universe. Sin to us, to the universe, is more powerful, the most powerful force in the universe, short of God, except for God. God is more powerful. And I just barely talked about that last week, just barely. But the power of sin is so powerful, so powerful. Look what it has done to humanity. Look what it's done to the universe. Look what it's done. See, my sin, your sin, all of our sin, sin of everybody, affects everything else. Our sin is never private. Someone says, well, it's just my own private sin, and I do little, you know, it doesn't impact anybody. Well, look, it does. Our sin does impact. It impacts the very Savior of the universe, the Savior of us. It impacted him and nailed him, impaled him to a cross. The innocent one, the one who didn't deserve it, was impacted by our sin. God himself was impacted by our sin. Yes, it affected him in the sense of his love went all the way. And today we're going to look at that. We're going to look at God's much more. In this passage, if you pay attention to the passage, and I love these patterns that God gives us, these little nuggets of patterns of him repeating himself over and over again to get our attention. Before we looked at rejoice in the hope of God, rejoice in our suffering or tribulation, rejoice in a perseverance, rejoice, you know, rejoicing, we rejoice. And now we're looking at much more. When God does something that's amazing already, and then he does something much more than. And so we'll see that in chapter 5, verses 9, 10, 15, 17, and 20. God sprinkles this in here, and he makes us see, but you thought you had something awesome. Well, wait a minute. There's much more. Do you hear me? There's much more. God is much more powerful than we can even imagine. Even though in our mundane life, our disappointments in each other, in ourselves, in people, and sometimes even in God, Some of us get disappointed in God. Remember, we talked about hope. Hope is expectations. Hope is looking forward to. And sometimes we have false expectations in God, and then he disappoints us. Really, he never disappoints. It's our expectations, our false expectations in God. And so we need to be founded in his word, pure doctrine, sound doctrine, understanding his word, and rest in him. So let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. It says, but God demonstrates, and we talked about that, demonstrates. He didn't just demonstrate it and it's done with. He continues to demonstrate. He demonstrates. God demonstrates his own love, personal love. That word there, own love, my own love. It's like from his heart. His own love. It wasn't somebody else's love. His own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, that's your first much more, verse 9. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Christ. Much more than, not only that he loved us and died for us, but there's this wrath that is to come. And God saved us from that as well. God not only saved us so that he could love us, he saved us from the wrath of God that is coming, rolling upon us, being justified in his blood. He shed his blood for us. Oh, the power of the blood of Jesus. And then verse 10, for if when we were enemies, okay, now we're enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His death had power to save us from our sins. But look what his life does, his resurrected life. Do you see? Much more than, much more. And not only that, and that's really what it says. And not only that, verse 11, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Not sometime in the future, not sometime maybe, but now we have been reconciled in a relationship with God. We have a now relationship with God. A now and present tense relationship with God. Isn't that just awesome? So let's look at some of the facts we learn from this passage of much more. The much more of God. The much more of God in Christ. He demonstrates his love forever. But even much more than that, we have been justified by his blood, reconciled to him in a personal relationship with him, and rescued from the wrath of God by Christ's life. Isn't that awesome? Think of this. We were helpless. We were enemies. We were in a state of judgment, wrath of God abiding upon us. And look what happens when we are in Christ. When God rescues us, we have the much more. God's much more in Christ. Powerful much more in Christ. But there's still much more. Verses 12 through 15. Now this is where we're going to have compare and contrast. We're going to see some comparisons but also contrast. It's like but not like. And you're going to have to pay attention to this when Paul starts doing this kind of comparing back and forth. He says, therefore, just as, so it's similar, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. That little baby, did that little baby sin that wasn't even born yet? Yes, but not on his own. Adam, when he was in Adam, when I was in Adam, when I was in the loins of Adam, when he sinned, I sinned. But wait a minute, that's not my fault. Let's just deal with the facts. Let's deal with the state of affairs that we are in, the sad state of the humanity, fallen humanity. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, put to our account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. All we have to look to is Genesis chapter 4. Abel was killed by Cain. Death. Not even death by natural causes, but death still reigned, even over those who have not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him. That is, Adam is a type of Jesus. In the sense, he is a beginning of a new race, the head of a new race, federal head. Adam is the federal head of the sinful, fallen humanity, and Jesus is the head of the new human race, the born-again new humanity. So that's what we see here. He was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, you notice the but, there's always a but. Here's the but. But the free gift is not like. So there's your not like. This is still much more. But the free gift, notice free gift. Have you all received a free gift in your life ever? Did you have to earn it? What did you have to do? What loops did you have to jump through? Burning hoops. What kinds of things did you have to do to earn that free gift? There's your basis of what grace is. But the free gift is not like the transgression. You see, a free gift in this case is not inherited. But that which came from Adam was inherited. So it's not like. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died. We all die. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. When you see that word abound, think of exponentially increasing. That means multiplying like rabbits or bacteria or something good other than bacteria. Let's say algae or something. You know, sometimes bacteria is good. But in this case, ever increasing, abounding, overcoming, it's above and beyond. It's this compound, it's this word that just talks about this ever increasing, multiplying, abounding. You can't keep up, you can't compete, okay? Abounding. And we're going to see that too. Much more and abounding. I want you to see how God is contrasting himself through Jesus Christ compared to the impact of sin that we looked at. The impact and the legacy of sin compared to the power of God himself. Just, it gives me goosebumps. I'm just excited just to think about this. I did not come in here encouraged, but I'm encouraged because of Jesus and his word by his spirit. It is not me being encouraged only, I hope. I hope you all are being encouraged because Jesus impacts our life. Just as sin is much more and impacts our life, Jesus much more impacts our life. He conquered sin and death. He didn't just kind of wimp over and barely. Just kind of, He didn't do none of that. He overcame. He conquered. The Lamb has overcome. He conquered sin and death. The concept blows my mind. It makes my brain cells hurt trying to comprehend this. He much more did this as a free gift of salvation. Nothing that can be earned. Grace, favor, grace more powerful. His free gift abounds to us. It's greater, increasing, growing. And it's not like our sin, which we inherited from Adam. We received his free gift of salvation by trusting him. Do you follow? When somebody gives you a free gift, you must trust them at least something, a little bit, that they're not giving you a bomb or something, right? They're giving you a free gift and it's good. There has to be that quality of trust there. If they were your enemy, you had to change your mind about them. That's called repentance. In order to receive that gift, right? In fact, you may have been the enemy. They may never have been your enemy, but you may have been their enemy. And because of that free gift, you have repented and turned around and said, maybe that person does love me. Do you see? That's the process of what God does to bring us to salvation. We were enemies. While we were enemies, while we were ungodly, while we were helpless, God comes along with his love and mercy and grace, his power. And he does show us that we are sinners, because unless we acknowledge that we are sinners, we can't receive this free gift. But all of that is there. We trust, we embrace, we rely upon, we rest. When somebody gives me a free gift, I'm not worried. I'm not wondering. Do you follow? Unless there's something wrong, then it really isn't a free gift, is it? So that free gift that God gives to you, now I want to live for him. You see, that free gift he gave to me changed my life. I'm no longer going to the lake of fire. I am now going to spend eternity with him. My life now is all about thanking him, serving him, praising him. That is my life, is him. So the gift, again, in verses 16 and 17 now, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. So think about Jesus, all the things that came up to the point of getting him on that cross. Think of all the transgressions that occurred just to get him nailed on that cross. Just human, without God's intervention. Just the human factor of sin that was occurring there. The betrayal. The unjust trial. I mean, all of those things compounded. And that's what he's saying here. The free gift arose from the many transgressions resulting in justification. Yours and my sin. All of the sin from Adam to that point and beyond to the last person who will ever be born on this planet, who is a fallen, sinful human being, descendant of Adam and Eve, nailed him to the cross. That is, all of us were culpable for the death of Jesus upon the cross. It isn't just the Jews or the Romans or that guy who was nailing him to the cross. It was all of us. It was all y'all. All of us all. Amen? For if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one, much more then. See, there's this much more. Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he awesome? Isn't he wonderful? So this free gift of much more, this is another free gift, another aspect, another angle, just like a diamond, and you see all the various facets of beauty. We see this much more facet here. His free gift of much more is powerful, more powerful than the judgment of God against us, and the transgressions and the condemnation and all that we ever inherited from Adam and Eve, the impact of that sin. But God's free gift is greater, 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 greater than anything we can even imagine. His grace is greater than even the death that reigns over us up to that point. And he says that we reign in life. We will reign in life. Well, there is a day we will reign with him in Christ in heaven. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But many people today are victims. And they play the victim. This is quite the opposite. Reigning in life means you are not acting like a victim. You are not living like a victim. You are victorious in your life. Reigning in life with Jesus. And then the last three verses here. And I'm kind of going fast, but I want to sum up something here. I want us to get the facts and then put those facts together and allow God to implant those in our heart. In the power of the much more, God. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. We talked about that. It resulted to all humans, Adam and Eve's sin. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all humans, or all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. Now let me pause there. There are some translations that get this a little bit better. But really what it means is, the law came in. God gave the law so that it would magnify. If you have a magnifying glass or a microscope to look at it deeper and see all the facets and the inflatedness so that it would inflate, so it would be magnified, so that we'd see what sin really is and the powerful impact of the horribleness of sin. That's what he's saying here. That it would kind of inflate in our eyes. Because we can say, well, that was just, I had a bad day, right? We can poo-poo our own sin, but man, if somebody else sins against us, well, you know, we're on them. So in this case, the law came in so that we have no excuse. It's so in our face. But notice the next part. It says, so that sin would increase, right? Transgressions would increase, but there's a but there. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, or much more. That is, sin could not keep up. Sin's impact could not keep up with God's grace impact. God's grace is powerful, more increasing, abounding. Like yeast. You got two different yeasts, two different breads, let's say. This yeast is inferior to this yeast because this one's going to abound more. And it's going to increase more and smother this. It's kind of like all those end times prophecies where Christ's kingdom will overcome all the kingdoms of this world. And all the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. It says the same thing. When God comes into our life of sin, what happens? He takes over all those areas. And all those areas of kingdoms in our life become more and more the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. In our life, the much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reign. Do you see that contrast here of reigning? Which one is king? Which one wants to be king? Old, selfish, self-centered nature, sin, or Jesus? And that's the battle. It is spiritual warfare, down to the granular soul level, spiritual level of our life. So what is God saying here? God is saying this: we will reign in righteousness to eternal life in Christ. Someday we will reign with Jesus. Even though we were made sinners through Adam, even though we were all condemned, we now can reign in life. We have that much more. We have that victory. We cannot forget who we are in Christ. Here's the thing. We have the much more God. Much more God. That means he is much more. And then he is much more than our circumstances, our situations, our disappointments, our frustrations, our sinful tendencies, our old habits, those things in our lives that seek to destroy us. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Take it away. Take our life away. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and that much more abundantly. It's the same category, the much more. God is more than. And when I looked at this week, I was amazed to see where I came from. Where did I come from? I was weak. I was helpless. I was prideful. I was rebellious against God. And God opened my eyes and saved me as he did you all. Look where we came from. Can you see where he brought us from and where he's bringing us to? And in the process, we are to reign in life in Christ, not just in the future, but now. Reigning victoriously, not as a victim, but a victor, with victory. God wants us to have victory over sin, hell, death, and the grave. He wants us to have victory over all the circumstances in our life. But that's why we need each other. We can't do this on our own as a Christian. That's why God created the body of Christ. We need each other. We can't do this on our own. We need to encourage each other. But in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, God wants us to be victorious. There will be a day when we are going to be with Jesus, reigning with him for those 1,000 years. And I've already put my name in for Tahiti. I've got that as one of the places I'm going to, you know, with Christ. I don't know if there's going to be other people on my team there, but or I'll be a part of a team or whatever. But we are going to rule and reign with Christ. I don't know what that entails, but I've already put in my name for Tahiti. And that's why I'm wearing this great shirt. But even then, much more than, now see? Much more than. There's a much more even there. After 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Christ. Revelation 22:5, in the new heavens and new earth. And I don't know what that even means. I don't even know if there's a Tahiti in that. I just know I'm just going to be with Jesus. That's enough. But he wants me to rule and reign. He wants us to rule and reign with him forever. That's amazing. Now think about where we came from. We were sinners on our way to the lake of fire. And Jesus says, no, I want you to rule and reign with me. What love. Much more than. Oh, amazing grace. You can't even, we can't even comprehend this. Incomparable. Amazing grace of God's love. I only have a picture. And I can barely make it out with this picture here. This is the space shuttle. We no longer do this now. I don't know why. Now Russia does it for us. But we have this space shuttle. And this is a picture. The thrust, the pounds of thrust here is just amazing. Millions of pounds of thrust that takes that space shuttle up to escape velocity of 17,400 and something. I maybe get this wrong here. But I know it's pretty fast. 17,000 miles an hour in like 8 minutes or less. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? I mean, you pull you over for a ticket for that. But the power, now this is why I want to contrast. That's much more than gravity, right? That's much more than. Now that's just a picture and an illustration. But I want you to see, that thing could not lift off the ground on its own. It needed something internal put in there. It wasn't by accident. It was designed. And it was filled up. And that's how God is in our life. When we allow God to fill us up in our lives, when he is our all-consuming everything, then we can be in that much more category with him. That's what he wants. He wants us to be much more. He wants us to be all that he's created us to be. But only God can do this. Do you see? Only God can ignite the fire in our lives. Only God can make us overcome sin. Only God can cause us to go from helpless and on the launch pad, ready to launch, but nothing, to 17,000 something miles an hour in the sense of the Spirit. Only God can do that. So when you think about your life, your little old life, don't think of it that way. Think of it so someday you are going to rule and reign with Christ. Only those who are in Christ have that honor. Only those who have that in Christ, born again, relationship with God, have that honor, who have relied upon Jesus' crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, that God applied all of that into their lives, and we are born again. So if a person is not in Christ, he or she will be sent to the lake of fire, which burns with God's wrath and judgment forever. If a person is not in Christ, is not born again, is not saved, he or she will have to answer for his or her own sins before a holy, awesome God. I say this with almost pulling back the tears in my eyes and my heart broken for those I know who do not know Jesus. Oh God, reach our loved ones for Christ. Reach this island for Christ. Oh God, use us somehow to reach people for Christ. All I can say, when I look at the cross, I don't know if I can even finish this out without crying. God, we ask today, somehow, some way, that you would reach those we've been praying for. You would reach those in this area. You would reach them, O God. We want them not to go to the lake of fire. We know you don't either. The lake of fire was created for the devil and his angels, for judgment, not for humans. We know that. And we know that this warning is here for all, so they would avoid it. And God, we ask that you would empower us to warn the people of the coming judgment of God, that they may be rescued from that coming judgment. Oh God, please, we plead with you. Do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand, and we're going to sing one more song.